Welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast. I'm your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host is Minister Kevin Pierce. We're coming to you live today from Birmingham, Alabama, this 17th day of November in the year of our Lord, 2016. Our prayer is that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dansby.
God bless you, Tony. God bless you. We thank God for the opportunity once again to come and to be a part of this great broadcast as we discuss God's truth as it relates to world events. And we're looking at the Bible very closely to kind of like monitor the fulfilling of the Word of God, actually, is what
Amen.
We're doing.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Before we get started, though, we're going to ask Minister Pierce to ask God's blessing upon our broadcast today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to have this broadcast. We thank you for those that are listening, dear Lord. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit moves over us that are doing the broadcast and those that are listening today, dear Lord, to just be pricked by something that we say. We know that your word does not come back void, dear Lord.
Yes.
And we just thank you in this day for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, brother. We do thank God for his presence in our midst today. And again, I'm your host, James A. Dansby. And with me again is our brother Antonio, and also Brother Pierce is with us today.
Hey, how everybody doing?
He's our co-host. Amen. Praise God. And we've been, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the evil of compromising God's truth.
It is evil.
Oh, praise God. I believe it's one of the greatest sins of this time, of this era, mm-hmm. is how we're taking God's word and we have, changed it to suit our whims and desires.
Mm.
And we know God is not pleased with that whatsoever. We've been looking at the book of Exodus, the propositions that the devil, through his vessel, Pharaoh, brought against Moses to try to hold on to God's people. He was definitely not willing to turn them loose. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God
Amen.
Demands that his people have freedom. Praise God. Freedom is so important. Freedom to worship God is a God-given right.
Amen.
As we
Amen.
Discussed in Sunday school on this past week.
Freedom
is very important. We have been given freedom by God to worship God, or actually to worship whatever God we want to worship.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. But absolutely, we know that there's only one true Amen. God.
True God, right.
Amen.
And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we noticed that the devil brought forth propositions to try to hold on to God's people. In other words, he gave inch at a time. He didn't want to just completely give up. Mm-hmm. A little bit at a time, inch by inch, he kind of relinquished and turned loose God's, began to turn loose God's people. But God didn't budge not one bit. Inch by inch, he tried to release us, but each time God said, I won't budge not an inch. Amen?
Amen.
And we looked at those four propositions that compromising proposition that the devil uses. Even today, he has no new tricks. He like the products that we put out on the market today. Every now and then, you just have to change the label. I mean, the contents are the same,
right.
But the labels just change.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So he has no new tricks. And thank God, we're not ignorant of his devices.
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise God! There's so many people that name the name of the Lord are ignorant of what's going on in the world today. But proposition number one was, you can serve God, but as Exodus 8 chapter, we looked at that. We're not going to look at it again today, but his proposition number one was, it's okay to serve your God, but do it in the land.
In the land.
In the land. And we know God rejected that, and praise God, we reject it also.
Amen.
Because to serve our God, we don't need to do it in the land. God has called us out from among
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
To be separate, said the Lord. And praise God, that's what God demands, and that's what we concur with also. But that second temptation was, you know, okay, well, it's okay for you guys to go, but don't go very far. Don't go very far. Proposition number two, don't go far now. In other words, you can be God's child, but you can also be my child.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's have a buddy system. God ain't, you know, how many of y'all know God ain't got no buddy
None
system?
None at all. Amen. The words say you either for me or you against me.
You either for me or you against me. But that's the schemes of the devil to try to convince God's people that it's okay to serve God, but now you don't have to completely divorce me. I mean, good Lord, we've had such a long relationship together. But God rejected that, and we rejected also. And that third proposition was, okay, well, go ahead on and serve the Lord, but, you know, leave your children here. Let us have the children. Let us re-educate the children. Mm. Oh, boy. And, you know, that has been played out in many ways today. We've left him to abort our children, and which is a great blight upon not only the world, but the church also.
Yes. Amen.
Because the church has been very silent while this sacrifice, this child sacrifice, has taken place in this land.
Yes,
and, you know, we get upset with the I was just looking at an article the other day, reading an article of the day, the South Koreans. They, for years, a thousand years, they have eaten dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a part of their, a dog to them
it's
is
natural,
what chicken is to us.
Right, right.
You know, and especially St. Bernard. They love St.
Bernard.
Oh,
really?
Oh, God, they breed them for eating.
For that,
Amen. And, but the people began to complain about the South Korean eating dog, you know. And, but they never say nothing about the aborted babies. Huh? I mean, look at the babies that are aborted every day. And there's nothing said about it whatsoever.
Kind of like the spotted eagle here.
Right.
Man,
either,
don't you kill an eagle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, what is it going to be next? The mosquito?
Yeah, seemed like it.
Amen.
But everything else on the list.
Amen.
Yeah.
But isn't that hypocritical, brothers?
Yes,
very
it
much is.
To raise so much ruckus about, actually, the Bible calls it straining of the gnat and swatting the camel. And I mean, worrying about all these little idiosyncrasies and not concerned about child sacrifice. And we allowed it to go on. But today we're looking at the last compromising proposition in the book of Exodus 10. And that's 10:24. I'm going to ask one of your brethren, please, Brother Pierce, read Exodus 10:24 through 26. Please, sir.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye. Serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Let your little ones also go with you."
Okay.
And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm.
Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind.
Praise God.
For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither."
Amen. We are not very sure of exactly what we're going to
need.
Right, right. But we know that we're going to need our substances, our material goods.
To serve the Lord.
Amen.
Their property to serve the Lord with.
Amen. Absolutely. We can, you know, it's like the devil's doctrine of separation of church and state, kind of like, you know, he been bringing that propaganda against in the church for years and years, and in the world period, that the church and state ought to be completely separated.
Right.
Well, that's always, you know, the separation between church and state has always been just propaganda to me, because it, well, you know, once you understand and you're saved, once the Lord save you,
okay,
you have a true understanding that that cannot be separated.
No, no.
Nothing in your life can be separate from God.
No, no.
Nothing. So, I mean, that's got to come together. It's got to be a part of your worldview. Yes. You got to have a biblical worldview, a worldview based on the word of God.
Amen.
And you can't separate from God to do anything else.
Can't be done.
It's a struggle for me.
Okay.
Because how can there be separation of church and state when in the Christian view, God founded both?
Okay.
Church and the state or the government. Absolutely. Right, right. Absolutely. So how is it that it can be separate?
Yeah, well, like I say, it's just another play on words, you know. Mm-hmm. And But we've graduated now to the devil's new thing now is separation between church and properties. Wow. God's people.
Wow.
And their property.
They want your stuff.
Mm. Oh,
wow.
They want your stuff.
They want our stuff. There's no doubt about that. But we got to realize that even our material things, God is sovereign over them also.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I think, Pastor, I think, brethren, that it's not even so much as them wanting your stuff. That's just another tool. Okay. They know how attached you are to your stuff.
Okay.
And that's another tool to keep you in line.
Okay.
Is threatening to take your stuff.
Keep you attached. Okay.
Brother Look Pierce. At Moses' attitude about their stuff.
Okay. What he says?
He said in 26, "For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God."
Okay.
"Because we know not. Okay. With what we must serve the Lord."
Right.
He said we have to take our stuff because we don't know what he may want of us.
Right.
He may want my blue ox.
Right. Yeah.
He may want my spotted cow.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
That's right. And we know now, looking ahead, that in the making of the temple and all, we know all the material, the gold, the silver, all the different things they did need. Because now God do provide. Am I right about that?
Right. Amen.
Let's look at Exodus 3 now, and we'll see how God gave Israel all the properties and the material things they needed in order to serve. Not just that which they possessed, but, you know, God put it on the hearts of others to give them what they needed. Amen? Exodus 3 and
21 and 22.
22, I believe it is. Let's look at that.
"And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians."
Oh, boy.
"Hmm. "And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty.
Lord, Lord.
But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians."
Amen.
Wow.
And that borrow don't mean you're going to bring it back.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
That mean give it up.
There you go.
Give
there
it up.
There you go. Turn it over.
But God put it on the hearts of those people to release to them everything they needed in order to serve God.
Amen.
All the material things that was going to be needed, God had them to give them up. And like I say, looking ahead, we know in the temple a lot of material went into the building of that tabernacle, not the permanent structure, but that tabernacle that went with them in the wilderness. There, God provided what they needed. So now God has to be sovereign. He provides for
over everything.
Us.
That's right.
So He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all.
That's right. Well, let me. I got a question for you, brothers.
Okay,
we know how the Israelites acted in the wilderness when they got the missing onions and the garlic and the things of Egypt.
Okay.
Yeah. They wanted to go back then.
Right.
How much greater would that urge have been to go back if they had left some of their stuff? See, God knows His people.
Okay.
He knows His people as well as He knows us right now.
Right.
And
right.
That's why He called for total separation the world.
No attachment
What's at
that?
All.
And you know, in that second, third proposition, in that one, you know, He said, "Well, leave your children now and your wife." Well, you know, if I had my child back there, then you still got me. You know, so absolutely. He's trying to keep that attachment there.
Absolutely.
So, but God is calling for complete breakaway, and Him being put first. What about? Can we look at that? Deuteronomy 8.
Okay. Yeah. 8:17 and 18. Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18, and it reads, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth."
Yes, yes.
"But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God."
Yes.
"For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth."
Amen.
"That He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers."
Amen.
"As it is this day.
God gives us power
So you mean my all them years of me working and me that was God too, Pastor?
That was God. Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes, yes, that was God. And we thought all the time that we were doing it ourselves.
Amen.
And all the time it was God. And we were not giving God the proper credit and praise.
Amen.
And but all God puts in our hand, this is what we have to understand. Everything that God puts in our hand has to be attached to our worshiping and our serving God.
Amen.
With everything.
Yes. Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
You know, houses, cars, monies, everything. All that should be turned back to God, and we should relinquish as being our own, and because actually we have been bought with a price. That's what the Bible said. Yeah. We're bought with a price.
Could that possibly be why God, one of his commandments was for us not to covet?
Yes.
Us not to covet, because we, like you say, we don't know what God may ask of us.
That's right.
Ask us to turn loose.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We're that attached to it to where we'll do anything to get it, then we'll do anything to keep it.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's not in line with the word of God. Brother Pierce?
I just want to make the point that if you look through the Bible, God has provided for all the work that he needs to be done.
Okay.
And that's been the heart here at Great Commission. God provides to do his work.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know, if you volunteer to do some work, then you'll have to get it on your own.
That's right.
But
that's
to true. Do but to do God's work all through the Bible, he provided his man his work.
He provided.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, all through the word of God, he provided. Amen.
Yes, he did. Even through times that looked blight and looked rough, where it looked like in the natural eye there was no provision.
But we have had the mindset, even, you know, being saved, some of us, and in the church, a lot of people, that this is mine. Right. You know,
and I did it.
And I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. I did it. I did it. You know, and not realizing that every breath we breathe is a gift from God.
That's right.
Wow.
Just think if I got to cut the breath off just one second. We'll go to squirming and
it's just over with.
It's all over with. So we got to give God the proper credit that he deserves. Amen. He is sovereign over all of our properties.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Amen. Huh? And he deserves the glory.
Amen. And our properties are holy vessels that we should be dedicated them to the Lord. Is that correct?
That's right.
Amen. You know, when I first read of Uriah, what's the name of Uriah in the Bible that touched that cart? He touched that cart that had that ark on there. And, I mean, he wasn't doing it maliciously.
No. He was trying to help.
He was trying to help.
And amen.
And I can understand why David was so upset when the God struck him down.
Right.
You know, because David knew that brother was just
He wasn't malicious about it.
No, he wasn't malicious. But God, that was a dedicated, consecrated, holy vessel. And the instructions were
the
priest.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
Amen.
So God is really, I mean, he's kind of sticky about that, isn't he?
That sound to me like God mean what he say, Pastor. Sound like he mean what he say. So how do we get so bold in this day and time to take God's word so lightly?
How do we do it?
How can you understand the word of God and the Bible from the examples? The Bible is our example, right?
Right, true.
And he's given us many examples on how God feels about his word.
Okay, right.
How can we today, well, brother, that was then, and we under grace now.
Well, maybe we need to, you know, we come up sometime and rededicate our lives to the Lord. Maybe we need to rededicate our property there. since we've stole it from God and claimed it these many years as being our own.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to
just give it back to
rededicate everything.
Because the Bible says it's a classic scripture that you hear every Sunday. We can actually rob God.
Yes. Yeah.
We can rob God.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what robbery is? That's the strong arm. To take
someone
to physically take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This mine, I'm gonna do what I want to
with
your stuff, God. Yes. That's what robbery is.
But thank God that brothers, you know, we in many cases we can claim ignorance and forgive them, Lord. Lord said, forgive them, they know not what they do.
Amen.
And we did a lot of things ignorant. But you know, when you know better,
you should
do better.
You do better. Yeah. Praise God. We should. Let's look at Zechariah. Can we look at Zechariah quickly?
Yeah.
14:20.
In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar.
Okay.
Yea, every pot.
Every pot.
In Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts.
Oh, boy.
And all they sacrifice shall come and take of them and see that therein in the day that there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
None. You mean the vessels, the pots?
Oh,
who was that king? Was that Nebuchadnezzar's son? Who was that? Who was that young fellow that decided to take God's
and drank out of them and
had,
party with them?
Had a party. Had a party. And that cost him his position as king, his life, and everything.
Amen.
So God took that as a great insult. Amen. For those dedicated, consecrated vessels. These were material things,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Huh?
And we're God, talking about things, stuff,
about
an
stuff.
Item. Really?
Yes, yes,
that,
yes.
The listeners need to understand that we're talking about objects.
Objects. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Property.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And don't the New Testament say something about us being vessels unto God?
Sure.
Right.
How much more would something make good, that God made in his own image?
Good. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Okay.
In his own
very
image,
good point.
How much more would he be a stickler in this air
about his stuff? Right.
About his stuff.
Right. Right, right, right. And then, you know, even in the Levitical laws where it was talking about the defiling of property, the men and women with certain diseases or maladies, if they touch this and they touch that, it's defiled. You
right.
Know? So God was taking in the whole. What I'm saying is God was taking in the man and all of his possessions.
Yes.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said,
all inclusive.
At the beginning of this series, I gave the example of a guy as a co-worker.
Okay.
We was mowing the yard.
Okay.
And weed eating and threw a rock. The weed eater threw a rock up against his car.
That's true.
Now, this is a good going, tithe-paying Christian.
Okay.
And everybody saw him as, you know, as a very good person, a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But when he found out that rock chipped his car.
Yes, yes.
His whole demeanor changed.
Yes. Yes.
So it tells you his attitude about his car.
Mm-hmm.
It really took him out of his character. I had really never saw him that way, but
his car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He exposed how he felt about that car.
Yes, 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 yes. The deep-seated affections for that car.
Yeah, that he had.
Yes, yes, which would not have equaled his affection for God.
Amen. That's right.
If it had of, he would have been instantly forgiven.
Yeah.
About that car, and the benefit of the doubt, whether it was a mistake or however. But how can that is too covetous.
Right. Like Tony, when some of us, we know we was fathers and uncles alone of the cars, and you know, first thing when we dinged it,
all right, right.
You know, my uncle gonna be mad.
Yeah, right, right.
My daddy gonna be mad. We all said it by God's property.
Right,
my
right.
Father God gonna be mad.
Not that we shouldn't be concerned about our property, you know, and be respectful.
Yeah,
but
be good stewards,
but this guy was totally. I mean, he really got upset, and it was surprising to the onlookers. Like, man, look at how he acted.
Yes, yes.
So, what do you think, that brother Pierce? I mean, you being that a witness, that and you have knowing you have spiritual eyes, what did that do for the gospel in your eyes?
It brought reproach on it.
Yes, yes, it definitely brought reproach
on the gospel, because
right.
From then on, it didn't really hurt his testimony.
Right. Well, you know, we haven't been properly taught, you know, would you do in your home what you wouldn't do in church?
Mm-hmm.
I know we said we think we dedicate this building to the Lord.
Right.
This is just a building,
amen.
But it is dedicated to the Lord.
Right.
For the worship of God.
Right.
Well, do we do things at home
with our personal items that way? Good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is our home? Is that God's house
great
too?
Great point.
Well, right. that's, can we separate?
Yeah. You can.
Can we really separate our homes from the church?
Wow. Judging from his reaction, he done worked overtime for this. I just got a detail. This is my car. That's his attitude about it.
What about God's word that said, acknowledge me in all your ways?
Oh, boy. All thy ways. Amen. Let's look at Romans 16. Let's look at Romans 16:5. It may give us a little.
You got it, brother.
Yeah. Okay. Read that for us then.
Romans 16:5 reads, likewise, likewise, greet the church that is in their house.
A church in the house?
Okay. Salute my well-beloved, Ephanatus, who is the first fruit of Achaia.
Right, right.
Unto Christ.
The church that is in their house.
Okay.
Is there a church in our house?
Amen.
Or do we wait till we get to church?
Yeah, that's a good scripture. In other words, do you have to go to church?
Okay.
Do you have to go to church to be the church?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
do you have to go to church?
Well, maybe your closet is in the church over there. Maybe the closet is not in the home there, huh? But everything, it should be dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what God expects, because the homes that God has given us, the furniture God has given us, it belongs to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And we shouldn't be, you know, we've had a lot of people, you know, they so particular about their home. They don't want you to wear no shoes when you go in the house.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off. Got the heavy duty plaster on the furniture.
Right. But they got three dogs in there, though.
But they got three dogs and five cats in there. Amen. And they all up on the furniture every day. Oh, boy. Looks like a little bit of hypocrisy in there, my brother.
Oh, man. I tell you. It puts so much strain on. And then, but how do we still so conveniently use excuses like, well, you know, especially us as men of color, as black men,
right, you know,
we went so long without having anything.
Oh, yeah, right.
We just want to take care of what God has blessed me with now. I just want to take
care. I'm like that because I ate cereal all my life.
Yeah. Like as if that changes the word of God.
Amen. I'll never forget a long time ago when I first started ministering, had a new car at one of the church I was at, and I think somebody asked her to take some people home, and she was cherishing that new car, and she was heard under the hot mic to say, you know, I ain't going to take them sanctified folks.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to put them
sanctified. Well, she ain't going to do, right.
In my car, you know. They'll be shouting all over my car, spitting all over my car, you know. But it's God's car. You know, that's what we have commandeered God's property.
Yeah.
And put our own name upon it. But the fact is that everything belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
And Colossians 4:15, quickly, can we look at that?
Yeah. And it reads,
okay,
salute the brethren,
mm-hmm,
which are in Laodicea,
mm-hmm,
and Niphos.
Yes.
And the church which is in his house.
A church in your house. Our house, our homes are an extension of this building that we're in here tonight.
Amen.
And this is what we have to realize, because we hadn't been taught so many things we haven't been taught in the church. A separation of church and home is what we, you know.
We're exercising that pretty good.
Yes. But that is not God's way. That is not God's way.
Amen.
But that's what we find that has happened. Let's look at, can we look at Matthew 21? We should dedicate the church building as well as our homes should be dedicated to the work of God and praise God to the glory of God. Amen? How many of y'all agree with that?
Amen.
I totally agree.
Amen. But that's the devil's proposition here is leave your property. You guys go serve God, but now let your property be dedicated to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God said very plainly in that verse, not a hoof. Won't work. Everything.
Absolutely.
All the material goods belong to me. Amen?
Amen.
21:13 reads, mm-hmm, and said unto them,
yes,
it is written,
yes,
my house shall be called the house of prayer.
Yes, yes.
But ye have made it a den of thieves.
Dedicated to prayer, dedicated to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God.
That's what Jesus called the church, house of prayer.
Amen, a house of prayer. Well, how, brothers, in the world have we turned the church into a community center? How is it that certain preachers today say the church is for the community? Is that a wrong statement? The church is for here to serve the community. How much truth is that?
Well, Jew told us about those type of people. Said some was gonna sneak in unaware, you know, and that's the only thing I can see them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to call them preachers very loosely.
Yes, loosely,
because I mean, tenet one, you know, the church is God's house. Sure. And like you said, mm-hmm. your house should be God's house.
Right.
If that's you're a Christian.
Right. If you're truly
if you're a Christian. Yeah. Yeah. If you, yeah. If you're a believer, right. everything about you yeah. should be dedicated to God.
Because he ain't just hovering above this building
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
And when
Absolutely.
You get out of here and get home, he's not over top of your
okay,
house.
Okay.
Or
okay.
in your house. Mm. You know, that's not the case. But you know, brother, you know, the most outlandish thing that I've seen, you know, we just had the election a while ago. And I can't get over the fact that we invited people in God's supposedly dedicated building to worship and praise, to vote on an issue of to abort or not to abort. Mm. Brothers, how can we get a wrap on that? Can you get your hands around that? How is it that we have the audacity to use God's building for a voting station to defy?
For neither candidates he would vote for.
Neither one. And trying to split hairs over whether or not a man ought to sleep with a man, and voting whether or not you ought to abort a baby. Brother, this is outlandish here.
Well, some places that call themselves houses of God and churches or whatnot
mm-hmm.
are not standing on the word of God. Are not, could not possibly be, because the Bible tells us that these things are already established in heaven.
Well, brother, I hear the devil saying right now, you brothers have gone too far. Huh? Is that what he said?
Already,
don't go too far.
Yeah.
Y'all too fanatical.
Yeah.
Give a little, man. Breathe, man.
That's right. I can hear that. I can hear that.
Can we all get along?
Yeah.
But God, the Lord said, my house is a house of prayer. And it's not
Amen.
A place where you come in to bury every person in the community that dies.
Mm-hmm.
No relationship to the church. Well, no, his grandmama, Big Mama was.
Right.
Oh, boy.
His Big Mama was, you know, was a member of that church.
Right, right.
But now, nobody knows him.
Never seen him before.
But now, if you don't bury him, if you don't have the funeral session and service in the church, then Big Mama going to be mad.
Right.
Somebody going to be mad because mm-hmm. once upon a time, when he was 5 years old, he 45, 50 now.
Yeah.
When he was five.
Yeah.
And
he dedicated his life to the Lord.
And he done served the devil all that time and until he died. But now you expect the church to open their doors. Huh? And if we don't do it, you know, we're mean
it's
people.
It's going to be That's backlash,
right.
yeah.
That's right, absolutely, absolutely.
But are we right? Are we right in standing firm on the word of God?
Well, God asked us that question, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Will we stand with him? Will he find faith when he comes?
Okay.
And that's faith, standing on the word of God, believing what God said.
Yes, yes.
You know, and living your life by the commandments and the statutes of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith.
Yeah.
That's having faith in God. That's believing in what's to come.
Amen.
And truly standing on it. You know, when we do that.
Right.
He told his disciples, when Jesus, our Lord, told his disciples
mm-hmm.
all these things to get ready for, because they're going to happen to you.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
you're going to be ostracized. But he said in his word, beware when all men speak well.
But you'd have to have a soldier's mentality and been trained as a soldier to be able to accept that and to respond properly. Brother Tony, we hadn't been trained to be soldiers, are we?
Yeah, if you've been trained by this word, he told you we are soldiers.
Yes,
in
yes,
his army.
That's what the
in
Bible said.
In the army of the Lord, we soldiers, we are.
We've been trained to be recipients of blessings.
Okay, now,
that's what it is.
Now, yes,
in the modern day
churches,
yes,
we've been trained to be recipients.
You'd be amazed what a lot of people think the church is actually for them.
Oh yes, yes,
you know.
Yes.
If I'm coming to you, this is my seventh time coming to you
mm-hmm.
in 8 months to pay my light bill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you looking funny. It mean you don't want to. Where you the church? What are you for?
What are you for? That's right.
That's why you're here.
That's why
you're here. Help the needy, help the poor.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Right.
Even those that are unsaved and
that's right. Know, everything. Yeah.
I mean, we bring the unsaved up in our churches to bury them and all them demonic spirits coming to pay homage to this great soldier that's been serving the devil all these many years, and you got all these spirits coming up in the church. You know, brother, I'm going to tell you, it's something to consider, isn't it?
It is.
Amen.
It's something to consider.
Amen. But we got people who claim to be born-again believers, though, who are inviting them into the church, knowing that you finna bring this filthy drug money in here and probably ease your conscience a little bit, so-called, by putting a handful in the collection plate and going on back out there to finish doing your evil.
Amen.
You know, but what happened to discernment and discipleship and telling these people what they're doing is wrong?
Praise God. Brother, we're falling so far away from the word of God, and you know, it saddened my heart that our people are, you know, wallowing in such ignorance today when it comes to God's word. Not that we know everything. I don't know. I don't know anything. And but I do know that God is jealous for his people and the things that he have put in his people's hands. Give me Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 6 there. And we know that believers and, you know, believers in churches invest in the biggest part of their God's property. Read that for me, somebody.
In Matthew 6 and starting at verse 19, we'll read 19 and 20.
Okay.
He said, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Okay.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt, mm-hmm. and where thieves break through and steal.
Okay.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, mm-hmm. where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt.
Yes.
And where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Brother, that's a heavy duty there, you know.
That is.
We all got... most of our job, we got some kind of investments, 401s, stocks, or whatever case might be, bonds. The question is, do we invest more in the world, more confidence in the world's financial system than God's system? I mean, isn't that something to consider and think about?
Of course. Of course. We shouldn't. We really shouldn't. Many of us do.
Right. Actually, we don't believe God. Right. God, he promised that he'll press it down. He'll run it over.
Yeah.
Huh? And he'll give back to us if we properly invest what God has given us. But we say one thing, but our actions what?
Say another thing.
Is that right? And but the Lord says here, not a hoof, and that means nothing left behind, brothers.
Nothing at all.
Nothing. All our finances should be put in the gospel. Yes. And if God is alive now, if y'all afraid he gone on vacation, the stock market in heaven done crashed. You know, maybe we ought to be cautious about
Plan B.
Plan B. But
how much more good here, right now, could those assets be doing for the kingdom of God?
Well, brother, and we all guilty now. We all guilty because I got a 401.
Of course.
And I can take money out
of it. Oh, yeah.
As a penalty, I'll have to pay for sure. But I could take a minimum of, $8,000 or $9,000 at one time, maybe something like that, $10,000, I think. But, you know, and invest it in God's work.
Mm-hmm.
But what? Go ahead, brother.
I just believe that there's all we can do more about concerning this.
Okay.
But no matter who you are, no matter what pastor you are, getting millions of dollars for your salary, $100,000 for your salary.
Yes.
I think that's just too much.
Yes.
Even if your congregation can afford it,
yes.
even if they give it to you, that's the line that I'm thinking about now.
Yes.
How much more of that money could be put unto the Lord?
Yes.
Instead of whatever you're doing it for. Now, you know, a pastor can get paid.
Yeah,
our pastor don't receive pay.
I'm not talking
about that.
Right. That's right.
I'm talking about when it gets gross.
Yes.
When it's just abuse.
Right.
Of the pastor get all these different bennies. When does that stop?
Right.
And
right.
some of that money, more of that money can go toward the Lord.
Toward the word of God.
Right.
And many cases, ministers like myself, they have pensions and work or whatever the case might be, but they still take, you know, great amounts from the church, which could be put back into the work of God, you know. And we're not saying that it's wrong for him to get paid, even though, like I said, we don't do it here. But for him to gouge the church, you know, I mean, just take
fleece the flock,
gouging, like you said.
Well, Pastor, we Minister Pierce just made a statement that our pastor here don't receive a salary, and thank God we have a man of God who truly believes the word of God. But and he works a regular 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pastor church, therefore it can be done,
mm-hmm.
But I know you ain't no way you gonna go in your pocket and spend none of your money. And spend none of your hard-earned money with all this work you're doing for the Lord anyway. You pastoring a church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to spend none of your money on the ministry.
Well, brother, it all belongs to the Lord. It's not mine. So I come to realize that it is not mine. And even now, I catch myself. Now, I'm still human, y'all.
Amen.
I have not apprehended like Paul said.
Yeah, yeah.
And every now and then I go into a pity thing, you know. Oh, boy, I'm spending all, and then the Lord says, shut your mouth up. You know, I'll be talking about what I'm doing with mine.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, shut up.
Amen.
Don't you know it's mine now? Right. Don't take it back from me now. And but that's sin element in us. That's,
yeah.
That's still there. That whines and you know
Amen.
When at times you know. He said not a hoof. That's what he said. Nothing left behind. God says all or none. I want all of you, and I thank God that He redeems all of us.
Yes.
When Amen. God saves us, He saves all Amen. Of us, our property, our everything. Amen.
Amen.
And this is what we have to remember. Look at can we look at Malachi there? 3.
Malachi 3:17 mm-hmm. reads.
Yes.
And they shall be mine,
yes.
saith the Lord of hosts.
Mine.
Wow.
In that day,
yes,
when
sir.
I make up my jewels.
Mm.
And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him.
Amen. When they make up my jewels, they shall be mine. You know, when I read that a long time ago, you know, I saw God as being like a leprechaun. Where's me gold at? You know? That's where it goes. We're God's gold.
Yeah.
We are God's
Amen.
Jewels. We're so precious. We're so precious in the sight of God, you know. And every bit of us, body, soul, and spirit is precious to the Lord. And He ain't gonna leave none behind, y'all. Not one. Not, when God redeems us, He redeems everything. Property
Amen.
And
Amen.
All. Amen.
Even in the Old Testament, Pastor, when he sent Joshua into Jericho to get Rahab, he said, and her whole house.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And that concept is played out throughout the
whole
Amen.
With Lot.
Yes.
Amen.
Lot
Amen.
Wanted his whole house.
Amen.
His
right.
whole
Amen.
House.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Right. And God did his best to accommodate
tried
him.
To, right. Right. He tried.
Yeah. He
tried to accommodate him. Everything. He don't want to leave anything
that's
behind.
Right. That's right.
And that's why we can.
If we would just be obedient.
If we would be ourselves first, and then it'll trickle down. The trickle down effect to our families, our children.
Yeah. So, whether they saved or not now.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
That's right, because
I'm talking unsaved.
They are included
yes.
in the package.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. No doubt
Amen.
About that.
And that's why Satan has used evil men so long in showing his patience, just like we talked about on this broadcast and several others. That,
yes, yes.
That was one of his compromises. Just leave your children.
Leave your children.
He'll wait till the next generation. Y'all go on out there and serve your God.
Let them be educated
go
by
ahead.
The world.
What are they doing in our universities and our high schools and today, if we wait until then to educate our children about the Word of God.
Oh, boy, we lost them.
They're gone.
A lost generation.
They're gone.
A lost generation. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians. And when the Lord said all, He means all, brothers.
Yes.
Read it.
5:23.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right, and it reads, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Complete.
And I pray, God, your whole spirit,
whole.
And soul, and body be preserved blameless
until
the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The total man.
Everything.
The total man. You know, even when I was thinking that scripture today, last few hours, just a few hours ago, I was thinking about Joseph, you know, and he said, when y'all leave, take my body with you.
Okay.
Don't leave my body in the world.
The military has that same attitude. Don't leave the dead
Nobody
behind.
Nobody behind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. On the battlefield, you got to bring them out of there.
Yeah,
if any way possible, you bring them out of there. And God feels the same way.
Absolutely.
I don't care how feeble that body was. I don't care how rotten it is in the grave. I don't care how diseased
it
is. The Lord going to bring it up. He's going to bring it back up.
Amen.
That
amen.
Body, that same body
amen.
That we lay down and they say a few words over us at the plot there.
Mm-hmm.
God going to get that body.
And
he ain't leaving
right
nothing. He ain't leaving nothing down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
go renew it. And
he called it a Jew.
Hey, amen. he every bit of it. He ain't going to leave not one portion of us behind. And I'm glad about that, my brother.
Ain't that good news?
Amen.
Ain't that good news?
What about 2 Corinthians there? Well, that's a little tidbit right there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 10 and 5. 10 and 5. And it reads, casting down imagination.
Oh, boy.
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing into captivity every thought.
Oh, boy.
To the obedience of Christ.
You mean to tell me, brother? You mean to tell me that he done claimed my thoughts?
Hey.
Good Lord, can I think? I mean, I'm saved. Praise God. I thank God I'm saved,
well,
brother. I'm
saved,
happy about that.
You ought to be thanking for God anyway.
Okay.
Even you just took your excuse then.
Yes, Lord.
You just took your excuse.
My imagination.
He wanted it all.
You mean I can't go Disney with my imagination? He wanted it to stay pure.
Absolutely.
And it to stay holy.
To think on these things.
Oh, God. What's think on these are pure. Amen. God, a good report. Amen. And but that goes you that goes to show you when God said not a hoof, he means not a hoof.
Not a hoof. Absolutely.
Everything. He claims absolutely everything. Amen. Yeah, the absolutely whole man, our gifts, our talents, and our abilities, everything.
So what is that? What does that put you, Pastor, personally, when you see or you hear You've been watching this pastor for the last 20 years who's been elevated on, every time you turn your TV on, he's on there, you know, and he has a stage where he could do so much good for the word, for the ministry of God and for the church.
Yes.
And you hear down the road that he's compromised with the LGBT agenda because his son has just came out the closet.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
This has been going on. This didn't just happen overnight. This has been going on in his house for years.
And he knew that.
Right.
And he knew that. Right. And he knew that.
Right. So that's him not protecting his all.
Sure. Not realizing that he is responsible. As a responsibility.
Chair the stars
at home.
Okay.
We are the priests of our home, and we're supposed to cover. To cover, that word heavy. That's a heavy word in the Amen. Word of God. Cover. Amen. Cover the family. You know.
Well, Amen. Let's don't make it sound as if that's the reason why his son is gay.
No. No.
What we're saying is that even though I do have a gay son, I'm not going to compromise the gospel.
Absolutely. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Amen. So, we're not saying he has a gay son because he, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, we in other words, though, the Bible says if you're not willing to give up all,
yes,
everything.
Yes. Yeah, right.
As gay son, straight son.
Right. Give up that possible relationship.
But as charity begins at home, we as leaders and our families and homes and churches have to give it up all first. If we want to see God work, we have to be first partakers of what God requires of the church, of us individually.
Amen.
In order to see it trickle down.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen. We'll look at Matthew 22 quickly. I know what we time.
Matthew 22, 36 through 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
Okay.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
All thy heart.
And with all thy soul.
Yes.
And with all thy mind. That's three parts.
Oh.
This is the first and great commandment.
Well, brother, all. What? Let's define all.
Yeah, how much is all?
I can't see it being nothing but all.
Oh,
that's everything.
Everything pertains to us.
That's right.
Our families, our children, our property, our abilities, our gifts, our money, our job, our everything. Amen? All means all. And see, God is not going to allow, you know, when we get saved, brothers, you know, we're not completely free of all the strongholds at one time.
No.
I found that to be a case.
No.
I was set free of a lot of things fell off of me when I got saved.
Right.
The bad language.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It fell off me. You know, I had no problem with that anymore. But there were some other things that I still was kind of gravitating
had to
toward.
Work out of.
Well, will God allow these strongholds, you know, to continue in his property? In other words, if seven thieves break in my house and I shoot six, but I let a lot of other ones to roam around in the house, that one thief that I leave out can do just as much damage
as the seven.
It can kill me and destroy everything.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
So now, is God going to leave any thieves in the house? Any strongholds? You mean, say that's still a drug stronghold. Is God going to be happy with you remaining?
Not at all.
Not a hoof,
not
you say?
Not a hoof.
Amen?
Not a hoof. So many people in the church have just accepted the strongholds and accepted the downfalls, they've accepted it as a part of their life.
Yes, they
have brought God off the throne and replaced him with a God that's okay
that accepts
with.
That, right.
That's okay with.
Okay, have a fictitious God.
Absolutely. An idol.
Huh?
Have an idol.
With you got that patch in, and you keep on making excuses why,
for it.
you know, you hadn't surrendered all that patch in to God.
Okay.
Huh? And thinking maybe, let me phrase it the way they phrase it. God knows my heart.
Oh, boy. Every time I hear that, my flesh crawls, Pastor God. I said, and because he know your heart, you in the world of
trouble. Yes.
He know you. They don't know what they saying when he said it.
He know that you know better. You know that
he know your heart.
That's right. And he's a jealous God. He ain't going to allow not one stronghold to remain in his children. God is never going to be satisfied with that. Amen. He's called us to be holy, even as he is holy. And we know a little leaven will do what, brother?
Leaven the whole lump.
The whole lump. Is that right?
Leaven the whole lump.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So God ain't going to allow no patched ends.
No.
And all through the Bible, we realize and we remember that. God, we read it in Malachi. Don't look at it again, though. That God kept on saying, drive them Canaanites out.
Yes. Don't leave none.
Don't leave none. Yeah. Don't leave not one standing. Yeah. And that's equal to our sins.
Absolutely.
And the strongholds that the devil have. And God, don't make no excuses for none of them, because God wants us to serve him with all our heart.
Absolutely.
All our mind, all our soul. So we cannot pass that wooden nickel off on God.
Yeah.
He is not gonna accept that, brother. He came to set us free.
Amen.
Completely
Amen.
Free. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Is that right about that?
Amen.
In Joshua 17, look at that quickly. Let's look at that quickly before we close out.
All right, Joshua 17, and it reads, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph.
Yes,
to Ephraim.
Okay.
And to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and has great power, and thou shalt not have one lot only.
Okay.
But the mountain shall be thine.
Mountain.
For it is... it is a wood.
Okay.
And thou shalt cut it down.
Yes, yes.
And the outgoings of it shall be thine.
Okay, all
right. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites.
Can't get the mountain.
Till you drive out the Canaanites.
Can't have the mountain
till
moving
you drive
faith.
Drive out the Canaanites. That's right.
And that God been saying it all through the Old Testament.
Right.
You
Amen.
Got to drive them out. God cannot be all God wants to be in our hearts and our lives until that every stronghold of sin is broken in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're totally, teetotally dedicated to God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It ain't God in the mammon. It ain't God in self. It ain't God in pleasure. It's got to be God, y'all, all by himself.
Amen.
How many times he said,
I am
a jealous God.
Amen. That's good.
And
that's
my name is.
Right.
He said, my name
is jealous.
It's jealous.
Well, they got a little sermon this go round.
Praise God. But everything, brother, that Adam left behind, all that Adam lost out, God redeemed that. And I realize that we'll in this body, we can't have perfect enjoyment of those things that Adam lost in that garden. He had perfect fellowship with the Creator. He had good, perfect happiness. He had God's favor. The image of God was upon him. And he had God's righteousness, living the abundant life. But in this sinful state we're in, I realize that we cannot enjoy it perfectly like God intended. We will one day, but you ought to be striving, though.
I believe God expects us. Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Not to make it. Yes, I realize I'm sinful.
Yes.
I realize that I can't come up totally up to where God want me to be, but he expect me to be striving for that each and every day. How many of y'all realize that?
Amen.
So we just putting the fire out on all those propositions that the enemy has brought up in order to try to get us to compromise in God's word. I say, brothers, that we're not going to compromise. Amen. Are y'all in agreement with me? We're not going to compromise.
Amen.
We're going to ask brother Tony. Mm-hmm. Tony, ask God's blessing upon us. We're going to close out this broadcast today. It's been wonderful discussing God's truth with you today.
Yes,
God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. And bow your heads, brother.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank you today.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for allowing us to sit before you and discuss your word today. Discuss your truth, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we know your word is truth, Lord. We ask that you just touch the ears and the hearts of the hearers today, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And just by your spirit, just show yourself unto them, Father.
Please, Lord.
And
please
show
Lord.
Them you are a jealous
Have
God.
Have mercy upon us,
that
Lord.
You mean what you say in your word, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
But as long
yes.
as there's breath in their body, it's not too late, Father.
Yes, Lord.
They can still come to you and you will accept them as a loving Father.
Yes, Lord.
And for that we say Amen. Thank you.
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
Thank
and we
you,
be
Lord.
So mindful to give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Amen.